that's what they're looking for. Like, how am I going to generate revenue? So I quickly learned, like, I can't focus on that one thing. What are some other ways I can generate revenue within this business that's simple, not going to take a lot of marketing, that I can start doing now? And that's the mindset that I had to go into it. So not only do we offer co-working space.
You're listening to The Solopreneur Hustle, a podcast that teaches you how to build a successful solo business while maintaining a balanced and fulfilling life. I'm your host, Nia Lewis, a business coach based in Charleston, South Carolina. The Solopreneur Hustle has a members-only Patreon community where you can connect with solopreneurs like yourself, chat with me about all things business, and get access to exclusive bonus episodes every single week. Visit patreon.com/thesolopreneurhustle or click the link below in the description for this episode to join our exclusive community for as little as $5 a month. You can also text business to 31996 to receive our monthly solopreneur newsletter that's jam-packed with business tips. All right, let's jump into this week's episode. Hey, y'all. Welcome to episode 36. This week, our solopreneur guest is Tamika Schuler Washington. Tamika is a business education, startup trainer, a speaker, an author, and the founder of Converse Space. Converse Space is a shared workspace for entrepreneurs that's located in Columbia, South Carolina. Converse Space is a collaborative community for entrepreneurs to connect and support one another. For those of us that run our own businesses from home, sometimes it gets a little bit lonely. So Tamika created a home away from home for solopreneurs who would like a place to work that's not on the couch at home or at a coffee shop. So in this episode, Tamika shares with us how she built Converse Space and important lessons she's learned about entrepreneurship along the way. Tamika shares with us why it's important to reach out for support and guidance in the early stages of building our businesses. And she also shares how important community is in entrepreneurship. I hope you guys enjoy this insightful conversation.
All right. So thank you for joining us here on the Solopreneur Hustle podcast today, Tamika. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us in our Solopreneur guest share.
Thank you so much for having me. This is definitely one thing that I truly enjoy doing, is talking all about things entrepreneurship.
Yes, yes. So just to start us out here, tell us about your background and what brought you to this world of entrepreneurship.
So I have a background in education. I've been doing education coaching with teachers and leaders for maybe the past 7 or 8 years. And I started working remotely and just being at home by yourself, or in my case, I had a baby at the time, and not really having people to connect to, it began to really do something. I started blogging. I actually started my own podcast at the time. And during that time, I realized that I needed a community to connect with. I needed to be someplace where I could get that physical connection, where I could bounce ideas off of each with other people. And that's how I ran into the concept of co-working and what it really was all about. Visited a couple of spaces, and in my area, there wasn't one, but I knew that there were people in the area that were just like me, who needed a space where they could come work and be productive, but also connect with other ambitious people like themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how you ended up starting Converse Space.
Yeah.
Just this idea of wanting to connect women, knowing that there were other women out there like you who needed to connect. Personally, for me, I also work from home. I'm self-employed, and I do get cabin fever. And here in the Charleston area, I end up going to a coffee shop, and I really wish there was a concept like Converse Space here in my area where I could connect with other women and really just have a place that felt like home, that wasn't at home in my office, you know?
Right, right. And that's really, you know, one of the biggest reasons that it's important to people, especially women, because we love to connect with one another. But it's like you said, it's nothing like being at home, getting cabin fever. You know, you might have these great ideas, you might have questions, or you may want to participate in some professional growth opportunity, and having a space just like that, it provides all of those opportunities and more.
Absolutely. So did you always know you wanted to own a business? What was kind of the early stages of your career and sort of the transition into entrepreneurship? What was that like? And did you always have an idea or some sort of inkling inside that made you think that you may eventually own a business?
Yeah. So for me, I'm always inspired by the people that I'm surrounded by, and it's mostly my family. So my grandfather and his dad, they started Blue Ribbon Taxi Cab Company, which is a well-known family business here in the Columbia area. And so hearing the story of my grandfather, but also seeing my uncles and my brother, they all were entrepreneurs, my aunt, my mom. And so seeing that, I knew that I wanted to have that same type of life one day growing up. So I actually started a social media marketing company back in 2010, 2011. Facebook pages for businesses were just getting started. They were just becoming like, you know, the popular thing that everybody needed to connect with, you know, their followers. And so I had three small businesses that I worked on, and I just got to a point where I got stuck. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because a few weeks ago, I was just having this conversation with one of my friends, and I was like, man, oh man, do you know what I could be doing now in that business, knowing where social media was then and where it is now? Like, I quit. And so when I started Converse Space, I knew that this wasn't just about me, but it was also about making sure that women, we don't quit. Right. I didn't have anybody to turn to give me those business skills. I was just starting out. People were saying things like, oh, just join the chamber. And I'm not knocking the chamber, but when you're just starting out, that's not the answer that you want to hear from somebody.
Yeah, it's a little intimidating joining a chamber, you know, when you're just starting.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, you know, I think about that why I started. I knew that there were women who had gone through the same exact things and got to a place where they quit, or they didn't start because they were afraid of failing. And so I want to help people to overcome all of those fears and just get started in your business.
Right, right. And I think it's just so powerful how this niche of women in entrepreneurship that you serve through Converse Space and through your other entrepreneurial endeavors, like speaking, this niche came from a place of wanting to serve women who were once in your shoes, the shoes you were once in, you know. I think a lot of entrepreneurs have difficulty figuring out what niche to serve or who to serve through their gifts and through what they're knowledgeable about. But I think it's really interesting that you have developed a niche based on your own lived experiences. And I think a lot of people can learn from that, especially those that are kind of confused about what they can do with their ideas. You know, it's one thing to know what you want to do, but it's a whole nother conversation to figure out who you want to serve through that.
Right. And here's the thing, oftentimes when we start, because honestly, Nia, when I started, I wanted to serve everybody. And then I kept hitting that like brick wall, like I'm trying to serve everybody because everybody who's in business needs me. And then I figured out months later, like 6 months later, that, oh, the people who are drawn to me are the people who look like me and who have experienced what I've experienced, because I often share bits and pieces of my story and getting started. And so that's what's, you know, like you said, targeting it down, really being super focused on who you're going to serve. That's what's definitely going to help you with success in your business right from the start.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Oftentimes it's not so much about what we do. It's more so about who can connect with us based on what our gifts are. And I think that's something really special that you exemplify through everything you do. I've been following you on social media and looking at your videos, and you sharing your background about how you've gotten to where you are, I think really is what attracts your target audience to you. I think the transparency and sharing what you learn from your lived experiences is so special there. And I agree, it really helps to narrow down who should be attracted to you based on the knowledge you have to share. And I just think that's really cool. Now, tell us a little bit about the process of opening ConverSpace. What were the steps it took to open your doors? I mean, I couldn't imagine having this idea for opening a co-working space and then thinking about all the steps it takes to actually get there. I know it's not as easy as just signing a contract and then your doors are open. You know, what was it like, and what did you learn along the way through from coming up with the idea to concept and then to eventually opening your doors?
So the process that I took, that's like one of my lessons right there. So I downloaded a business checklist. Okay. This is, you said transparency early, and it's funny because my thing for this year is transparency, being authentic. That's your new connections for currency. I mean, people want to connect. Here's my transparent moment. I had a checklist and I went through and I did all the things that were listed on that checklist, and they were good things. They needed to be done, but it just focused more on the structure of the business. Do you have your LLC set up? Do you have your name established? All those little things that you do need to make sure that you're in place. But the part that was missing was a plan, like a plan of action. So yeah, we bought all the furniture. We did preliminary research, market research. We started working on our business plan, and we did all of those things to get to that point of getting started. We joined a chamber and we set up a ribbon cutting ceremony. I mean, all of those little tasks that people think about of, hey, I'm getting ready to open my doors. But the number one thing that we were missing was at least a 3 and a 6 month plan of how are you going to grow the business? You started, how are you going to grow it? And what does that look like in your first 3 to 6 months? So that's the piece of the process that was missing for me. And what I learned along the way is when you don't complete that step, it's going to push back so much time in order for you to get caught up to a place where you're like, oh, now I get it. It took me 6 months to realize who my target market was. It was right there all along, but I didn't plan for that. And so that's the piece that was missing.
Wow. I think that's so powerful. I think many early stage entrepreneurs, when we start, we're going through that business checklist. All of those things, like you said, are equally as important as lots of other things we should be doing for our business. But it's like, okay, once you start, then now what? So I think that 3 to 6 month growth plan that you talk about is so important, and probably equally as important as all of those other things that you check off the list. Because if you open your doors and you don't have customers coming in, then you have to figure out how to find them and where to find them and who to market to. And all of that's a part of the growth plan. And I again, that's just as important as the LLC, the business license, the networking at chamber events, etc.
Yeah. Yep. And that's why I said it's important for me to be transparent, because I definitely don't want people to go through, you know, we may miss a step here and there, because even in that process, there was a document that we didn't get signed with the county. So it put a little hiccup into it. So those things are normal. But the planning part is what we miss when we talk about, like you said, you're 3 to 6, you're in your business and it's like, now what? The doors are open. Nobody's coming. You know, you then would have something to go back to and say, okay, well, we tried this and it's not working. What is the next thing in our plan that's going to help us get to that, whatever it is that we want to work on?
Absolutely. And when you're mentioning that growth plan, I'm really glad that you said, you know, okay, we try one thing that's not working. Let's try something else. Because I think a lot of people assume that in entrepreneurship, there's that one specific thing that's supposed to like take our business from zero to everything we imagine. And well, you know, when we're just starting, we're like, if I could just get this one marketing tactic down, if I could just figure this one thing out, my business is going to take off. And you have all the results we imagine, but that is so like far from the truth. We try different things. Some things work, some things don't. Have you kind of experienced the same thing?
I have. That's why I'm chuckling, because you have to look at your business and make sure that there are things that you can add in there to help, you know, generate some revenue. Because that's what most entrepreneurs, if not all, when they first get started, that's what they're looking for. Like, how am I going to generate revenue? So I quickly learned, like, I can't focus on that one thing. What are some other ways I can generate revenue within this business that's simple, it's not going to take a lot of marketing, that I can start doing now? And that's the mindset that I had to go into it. So not only do we offer co-working space, we also do allow people to rent out our space for small intimate events. We also have office space that we added on so that people can actually have a physical office there. And then we offer mailbox services. So people that need a mailing address for their business so that they're not, you know, having people come to their house or having their business mail sent to their house, we offer that option as well. But you learn that very fast. Like, I need to expand my services that are still within my scope. Because you don't want to add eight things and there's only one you. Then you're going to be stressed. But you want to just look at ways that you can generate money in your sleep, that you're not having to do a lot of effort to make that money.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, just within Converse space, you have four streams of income there: the co-working space, the small events, the office spaces, the mailbox services. That is so powerful. I mean, if I thought about opening a co-working space, all of these streams of income wouldn't be apparent to me from the beginning. It takes, I'm sure, trial and error, brainstorming, coming up with different ideas. And I'm with you 100%. You can't just focus on one thing, because, I mean, there's busy times of the year for certain things. Other times of the year are slow. So having streams of income is so important. And I think sharing that will help so many people, especially entrepreneurs who are really focused on one thing and it's not working out how they want to right now. And maybe within what they're doing, they can create another stream of income that can work for what they're doing.
Yeah. Yep. And then that also goes, like you said, it's trial and error. You look at some things that work and that don't work. And then if you have a product that's, you know, a single product, then you then need to begin thinking about, how am I going to market this, you know, physically and online, and how am I going to generate some revenue with this, you know, this particular product.
Right. It's even like having a growth plan for each of those individual streams of income. Yeah. You know, you have a growth plan for your business overall, but then when you start carving out different streams of income, you kind of have to have a plan for each of those streams of income also. So yeah, that's really important. All right. So how has making connections and networking played a role in your experience in entrepreneurship so far? And what advice would you give to entrepreneurs who are struggling to kind of get out there, if you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I'm an introvert. People are like, no, you're not. Yeah. I'm the person who will say, no, I think I'll stay home this Friday evening. So I had to really get to a place where I became comfortable with being around a lot of people. So that was one of the reasons that I joined the chamber. I joined the chamber just to, you know, attend the networking events and then look at ways that I could grow as a small business owner. So really, you have to get to a place where you can get outside of your comfort zone. If you don't like attending large networking events like chamber events, depending on the size of your city, try some small local things, like something at your local coffee shop, or something at a small, you know, networking event for a group of professionals, something that's small, that's not going to make you feel, you know, intimidated or those usually work because I like small, intimate events. The connections just feel more, they feel real. And you can extend those beyond just what, when you're shuffling cards back and forth at large networking events. So I would definitely encourage people to get out of your comfort zone and really think about why you started your business and let that guide your conversation versus here's my business card, here's what I do, and that's it. You know, share your a piece of your story because people want to connect with humans. They don't want to connect with a salesman. They want to connect with a salesman because they saw the human side of that person. So really don't go with your sales hat on to every event. Take your why with you and let that guide your conversation.
Wow. Yeah. And I think it's so important to take off that sales hat too, because even if you're trying to sell to everybody, you know, the person you're trying to sell to may not actually be your customer. They may really like you. You talked about that human side. They may like you, and then they may talk to somebody 2 weeks later. They may remember you and then recommend you to somebody else who's actually your customer. So, I think that human side is really important. And then also, I'm sure you can relate, but I've been to a lot of events where you just make these empty connections, you know, like you said, shuffling around business cards. And then next thing you know, you get home and you're like, I can't even remember the names of not right. even one person I met. So, yeah, I love that part about focusing on just being a real person as opposed to seeing networking as an opportunity to like constantly sell, sell, sell.
Yeah. Yep. It makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of risk associated with entrepreneurship for sure. I'm sure you kind of evaluated the risk of opening your business and pursuing entrepreneurship, but many small business owners struggle to get started because they fear this risk of navigating all of the unknowns that come with getting a business off the ground. What were some of the risks you thought about when you initially, you know, had the idea to open your business? And what advice can you give to entrepreneurs who are trying to just get the courage to start despite the risk and fear and unknowns?
Yeah. So the biggest risk that people often take is related to finances. Some people take the risk and not start a business because of finances. And then some people look at their finances and say, okay, what is, you know, am I going to bootstrap this business, which is what I did. You know, am I going to use some of my personal finances to get this business started off the ground? And so that financial risk, but then also there's a time factor that sometimes we don't really think about. We know that it exists. And for me, I'm a wife and then I have a daughter. I have friends, I have a social life, and I counted up the cost of what it would take the first 3 months, 3 to 6 months, how much time would my family miss? How much time am I going to miss spending with friends because I'm going to have to deposit that time into the business? And I had to consider that and even share that with my family. We talked about that. And then I think another risk that we don't often consider is getting help in our business. And when I say getting help, I mean not walking into your business thinking I did this checklist, so I'm good, but getting a mentor or taking some of your money that you do have and investing in a coach, even if it's just going to be a one session or a half day session or a 3 month contract, getting a coach to help you through that process. People often don't want to do that because they don't think that they can afford it. But I always say make a way for it to happen so that you don't have to walk that process alone. And then if you can't get the funding or you don't have the money to pay for a coach, then definitely seek out a mentor. And I wouldn't wait to do that when I start my business. I would start being around people that I want to be like, that I admire, that I connect with, and building a relationship. And then being able to approach them and say, hey, I'm getting started. I'm looking for a mentor. Is that something that, you know, having that conversation. but definitely building a relationship before. So the risk of not investing in ourselves, that's a huge risk, the financial risk. And then, like I said, I think time is another one that we just don't often think about.
Absolutely. You know, we are who we surround ourselves with, for sure. And speaking from experience, things seem so scary until you surround yourself with people who are doing what you want to do. And then you see them doing it, and all of a sudden it's not so scary anymore because you see that it's possible. So there's so much power in finding a mentor who's done what you've done and who's done what you've done, and surrounding yourself with people who are doing what you want to do. Because you see what's possible. You see that the unknown isn't so scary because there's other people that have done it. And you really get a glimpse at what things could be like for you if you did take that leap.
Right. That's, yeah.
Yeah. And then also what you said about finding a mentor or a coach or someone to help. What do you think the value is there for that, for early stage entrepreneurs? How can a coach or a mentor kind of help? You mentioned maybe finding one before you start. For those who may not see the value there in finding a coach before you start, how could a coach kind of help there?
Yeah, it's definitely something that I highly recommend, because when you start, there are unknowns that you don't know. Like I said, a lot of times I've seen people, they go through that checklist and they get started and they're like, yeah, I can do this. And then they're stuck. And so a coach is really going to be that person that when you go through those unknown moments of, you know, I want to make sure I have, you know, this marketing strategy laid out. I want to make sure that I've considered, you know, how am I going to retain my customers once I get them? What are some strategies that I can put into place to build revenue options in my business? That person is going to really be there to support you. And, you know, I have this thing about coaches, because it's such a word right now that people just loosely use. That's why I say you have to start building relationships with people. Look at people's credibility. You know, look for your receipts. And when you're looking for what you're going to pay for, because you want that investment to be a return in your business because you deposited into yourself. Instead of, you don't have a plan, you don't have a mentor, you don't have a coach, and then you're 6 months in your business like I was, and you're stuck and you're lost.
Right. You know, a coach can truly, or a mentor or somebody who's done or doing what you want to do, can put you years ahead of, you know, someone who didn't invest in that type of help. It really, one question or one thing that you're confused about can set you back a month. Yeah. And there may be someone out there who can just go ahead and answer that question for you, bury the hatchet so that you can just move on. You know, when I first started, there were lots of things I was confused about. I was trying to figure out things myself. And eventually I found a mentor, a coach, someone to help me. But, you know, if I had done that sooner, perhaps I could have been 6 months ahead. So I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, it is super important. And like I said, we don't even invest in ourselves in our business. You need professional development. So set that up in a budget, or say, hey, before I get started, I need to work on me, and, or, you know, get somebody to be there to help me go through this whole process on my own, because it's a brand new baby. And you're going to need that person to be there. Like you said, you're not 6 months behind. You already tackled a plan because you have somebody there to even hold you accountable as well.
Absolutely. And I love what you said about investing in yourself as an investment where you can eventually get a return on that investment. Because, I mean, if you really think about it, as entrepreneurs, the farther we go in our journey, we become more of a valuable asset to ourselves and to our businesses. So thinking of professional development as an investment, as opposed to some empty expense that we just spend money on just because, I mean, thinking of it as an investment is so powerful. And it's so true. I mean, I'm sure you're not the same person you were 3 years ago when you opened your business, or you're not the same person you were 10 years ago. I mean, we educate ourselves, we become more valuable assets to our business and to our world. Thus, we definitely should invest in ourselves.
Yeah, Absolutely. It's the best thing that you can do for you as a business owner.
Yeah. Now, you're on social media, and I'm sure many entrepreneurs listening can relate, but sometimes when we're following inspiring people on social media and we're connecting with other entrepreneurs, we have a tendency to compare ourselves to others. This is just something that has been at an all-time high since the introduction of social media, self-comparison on the internet. How can we direct our vision for our business and for ourselves? How can we direct our vision for our lives as entrepreneurs while also being influenced by others? How can we really stay focused there?
Yeah, that's a big thing that we all go through, that comparison trap. And one of the things that you can really do for yourself is to celebrate your wins and think about the people that you're looking at. Because for me, it was the competition. I was always so hyper-focused on what they were doing that I lost sight of what I needed to do in my business. Because you'll find yourself trying to you'll find yourself trying to compete, to keep up with them, and you don't understand what kind of marketing budget they may have, or, you know, what kind of partnerships or sponsorships that they may have. And so you have to just get to a place where you really focus on you and who you are and what you're bringing to the marketplace. I do social media. I don't call them fast or anything. I don't have a fancy name for it, but I just kind of pull away from social media on a consistent basis every quarter. I did it for most of the summer, this past summer, and it really gave me a chance to think about me as a business owner. Personally, what are some things that I needed to work on? And then professionally, what are some things I need to work on to grow my business? And it gave me a chance to plan out my fourth quarter for the year. So really just taking the time to be confident in who you are, but also knowing your worth and what you bring to the marketplace, and then taking a look at who you are inside personally, and then look at professionally, what are you doing in your business? And that's why I always say the coach and the mentor is so key for that, because we don't always want to be honest when we look at ourselves in the mirror.
Absolutely. Sometimes you need somebody to tell you the truth. You know, sometimes your family won't say it. They won't tell you, look, you're comparing yourself to somebody else. Are you the same business as them? So why are you worried about them?
Right.
You know, sometimes we do things that we don't even realize. And so someone has to give us a wake up call. And 9 times out of 10, it won't be our best friend.
Nope.
So I agree with you. Sometimes you need someone there to tell you that, you know, you're not doing the right thing right now, so you need to make some changes. I love what you said about taking that break, taking a step back from social media. Many times we get lost in this digital world, especially on social media. And I too have experienced kind of, you know, being so focused on your competition that you lose sight of what your original goals are and what you really want for your business. You mentioned that you never know what someone else's marketing dollars look like. You also never know what someone else's goals are. We really only see what people post and what they want us to know, and we have no clue what's going on the back end. So I think many times when we look at the competition, you know, just like you said, we are unaware of those unknowns about businesses beyond what they share on social media. So take those breaks. Like you said, find somebody to tell you the truth, whether it's a coach or a mentor or a business bestie, you know, someone that is going to help you find sight of your vision sometimes when you feel lost. Because I don't know if you can relate, but I mean, entrepreneurship has highs and lows. Sometimes And sometimes I'm like, what the heck am I doing? I feel lost. I thought I was on track. And then now it's like, I need to refocus and figure this out again, because now I'm lost.
Yes, you're right. I feel that often. I used to say, and I had to stop saying this to people, but I used to say, today I quit. And I had to stop saying that. But there are days that I'm like, you know what? Why did I even do this? Why did I do this?
Right. Thank you. Listen, some days I'm ready to quit and then I remember, well, this is my whole business, so I can't really quit. I'm going to just go to sleep and try again tomorrow.
Yeah, that's it. You got to have a strategy like that.
All right. So in your day-to-day life of managing your business, you said you're a mom, you're a wife, you have a social life. How do you achieve productivity? How do you do all that you do? And could you provide any helpful time management tips about how to stay afloat in this world of entrepreneurship while managing all of the other responsibilities we have outside of our businesses?
So this goes back to one of the things that I shared about investing in yourself. One of the things that I encourage people to do is to invest in your business, such as I may need to hire a virtual assistant to read my emails, or I may need to get an intern to help me with my social media. Because as a business owner, when you first get started, you know everything about your business and you want to do everything. And the quickest way that you will get burned out is trying to do every single thing by yourself. Now, I know people are like, well, I can't afford that. That's one of those things where you kind of have to look at what is something that I may be able to cut out so that I can invest in this one thing. It may not even be a person. It may be, in order for me to communicate better with my audience, I'm going to have to invest in an email marketing campaign so that I can schedule those things and I'm not typing emails to my customer list every single week. There's some things I can automate. So look at ways that you can automate in your business as well. But really, when it comes to managing time, what works for me is I have to set an agenda of priorities for the day or for the week. And then for the week, it drives what I'm going to focus on every single day. And so set your priorities when it comes to managing your time, because those priorities, those are the things that should be driving your business and growing your business. And like I said, sometimes priority means I'm going to invest in the best package for social media content pictures, because I'm not good at Canva, or I don't have the time to do this on Canva. So I'm going to spend this $200 and get them to do all my graphics for me. It's really going to help you when you think about what are the top priorities in my business. And then for me, it was planning them for the week and then breaking those into bite-sized daily tasks.
That's so helpful. I think many times we get so bogged down with what we think is a priority. I mean, many times when we start, everything feels like a priority. We know it just has to get done. But I think, you know, like you said, breaking it down day to day, figuring out what we can maybe outsource through a virtual assistant or even automated emails, there's even websites where you can automate your social media. Yeah. I was just looking at a YouTube video the other day about how a girl automates a whole month of social media content in one Saturday afternoon, and she doesn't have to think about it again for the entire month, you know? Wow. So, that's not me, but you know, there, like you said, there's ways to automate your emails so that you're not constantly having to send out customer emails every other day or every week, mm-hmm. automating your social media. Those are all really helpful things. And then again, figuring out what's the priority and what's not the priority. And, in 2020, you know, I recently decided to outsource editing of this podcast and also editing my YouTube videos, because that just kind of started to feel like something that was sucking time out of my week. When you start to think about what's a priority and what's not, sometimes you just think, okay, this is something that needs to get done, but I can best serve my business if I'm not doing this. There's an expert out there that can do it. So just like you mentioned the virtual assistant, listen, there might be someone out here who's really great at secretary work, and that just might not be me or you, you know? Right. So all of those things are really helpful. And I think it's great to invest in experts who are really good at the things we force ourselves to do and not feeling like we have to wear every hat for our business.
Yep. That is so true. But but that's how we think when we get started. And I've just learned to prioritize. I started a list. Like, what is a priority? Or just write a list. And then I'm categorizing, that's not a priority. Really, I can not do that. That's a choice that I'm making to do. That's adding more time. So you do honestly have to really prioritize almost everything in your business, and not just prioritize it by, you know, monetary, but that I'm going back to time. Think about time. If it's going to take you away from things that are a priority in your life, you know, family, friends, or whatever, then you have to factor that in as well.
Right. Wow. And, you know, time is money, but also time dictates every single decision we make. So yeah. Time we could be spending with our family, but instead we're spending that 2 hours every afternoon, you know, fumbling through emails. Yeah. If we could get someone to do that and have that time with our family, really that time is invaluable. Right. Time really is the most valuable asset we have. So I think that's so powerful and so insightful that we can think of time in that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Now we're going into our lightning round. So I'm just going to ask you a series of short questions, and I'd love for you to just tell me the first insightful answer that comes to mind.
Okay.
All right. What keeps you motivated week to week in your journey in business?
Connections with clients or potential clients. Like, I love connecting with people, period.
Yeah. Awesome. What's one word you would use to describe your experience in entrepreneurship so far?
I would still say I'm a toddler. I'm a toddler in business. I'm still navigating. I still need people to hold my hand.
Same. Me too. And you know what? I'm not supposed to comment on these lightning round questions, but that's so insightful, because I think when you first start, you think in 3 years, I'm going to have everything figured out. I'm going to be able to do, but you know what? I feel like a toddler too. I'm still learning. I think I'll never get to a place where I'm done learning, and I always need help with things. So yes. I don't think they'll ever get to a point where I know it all. You know, I'll always have things to learn, and I will always need a hand at something.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. What's the most valuable piece of advice you could give to an early stage entrepreneur who's just starting?
Planning. Planning is key. Before you pursue anything, you need a plan of action. You need a strategic plan of action. And a business plan is not going to get it.
Wow. And if anyone listening is thinking about launching their business, but for whatever reason, they feel stuck in their current situation, what would you tell them?
They need to call me. No, but definitely. Well, yes, they can definitely call me. But I would say you want to look at your resources that are available. Look at what's out there. Try not to get so caught up in trying to research everything and join every free, you know, course. And those things are overloading. You need some people to connect with, and you need some resources in your hand.
Okay. And where can our listeners find you after this episode?
Absolutely. So we can be found at www.theconversespace.com. They can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The Converse Space there. And then email. I love to get emails. I am a person, I set a timer, and this is when I check my emails throughout the day. So you can reach me at hello@theconversespace.com as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Tamika.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Stay connected in between episodes by texting business to 31996. You'll receive our business tip of the week, and you'll also get our monthly solopreneur newsletter. We also have a private membership group that you can join to access group chats and bonus episodes every week. Visit patreon.com/thesolopreneurhustle or click the link below in the description for this episode to join our community. I hope you have a great week, and thank you for supporting the Solopreneur Hustle podcast.